Welcome to the Hero Hub podcast, where we explore the journeys of the industry innovators, trailblazers, and game changers who are shaping the future of vehicles and equipment. Whether you're here for cutting-edge tech, business strategies, or simple love of the ride, this is where you'll find the inspiration to fuel your journey.
I'm here with Brandon Pack today, and I'll just have him introduce himself.
Of Motorsports Marketing Group. I am 28 years old, currently in West Palm Beach, Florida, born and raised in North Carolina, what I like to call the heartland of power sports. I know some people will disagree with that, but we love it there. We have been running the ad agency for about 8 years now. We work with about 25 dealers across the country, hoping that number is going to grow. Big credit to the Dealer Hero Group, so thank you guys.
Tell us a little bit about how you got started in the power sports industry.
There's a couple of starting points. The first one being I learned to ride a PW50 before I rode a bicycle. So that was kind of my first love. And I raced motocross until I was about 12 years old. And then I fell in love with football, which I'd also done since I was in diapers. And it's one or the other. You know, they're both going to beat you up pretty well. So I chose football. That seemed like the right path. I played all throughout high school. Again, always loved the idea of power sports. It's just I kind of got away with it in my late childhood there. And so luckily enough for me, this is a funny story, broke my ankle my senior year during a game, lost any opportunity I had at playing at the next level. Went to school to study marketing, did that for about 3 years and realized nothing that I was learning there was going to be useful to me. So, you know, left school, went and joined a social media marketing agency. We did, you know, Instagram branding. A little bit of paid ads, not too much. So I did that for some years, and then I met Brandon Prokopek, who is my partner, who I'm assuming you'll have on here at some point. We started doing the advertising for his dealership about 8 years ago. And so him and I got connected. We did this through the other agency for about a year and then got to the point where it was him and I doing all the work. So we decided, hey, you know, why don't we just go out and do this ourselves? And so there were a couple of things that led us to the start. One is just understanding that we were doing this ourselves. And then two, understanding that nobody else was. We're talking about 8 years ago. We're talking pre-COVID, 2018, 2019. And most operators were so far behind on where this was going 8 years ago. We saw the opportunity. We had a lot of success with that flagship dealership, if you will, with our efforts. And so opened up the agency. And that's kind of the reintroduction, right? So I've been introduced to it at multiple points throughout my life. And at this point, it's been all power sports for 8 years now.
Do you still ride? Have you gotten back into that?
In a roll cage, you're not going to catch me on it now. I bought a bike and we would take it out to Moto 40 and go ride with the guys. And then that lasted for about a year. And I was like, what am I doing? Get me off of this thing. So I do ride now, but it's only things with four wheels and a roll cage. Nothing two-wheel for me from here on out.
Tell me about some specific challenges you faced personally, professionally, as you've gotten your business off the ground and just as you've gone through life.
Professionally, that's a little bit easier. The biggest challenge we had when we started this agency, we knew we had something good, but the first 5 years was a lot of effort and little results in terms of growing the business. Because, you know, in that time period, we were pre anybody even considering this for the first 3 years, and then COVID happened. And then the need for advertising really went out the door because everybody's selling everything that they have, right? So they're not even considering it. There's no need to spend the extra money, or so they thought, right? And so, I mean, I think our biggest challenge and what eventually turned into a blessing was that we spent 4.5-5 years doing this within our three flagship dealers and perfecting our processes, our strategy, our results before it ever went to market. So that when we took this to the new dealer that was outside of people that we had been doing this with for 4 years, outside of our kind of home base, we knew we had a good product, right? So the challenge was we just went 4 years with no new revenue other than the people who started with this. But the blessing is we have the best product out there for dealerships, and it's because we spent so much time just refining it and working on it before taking on any new clients, right? And that leads to personal challenges. You know, there's only so much revenue, which means there's only so much income. And so, you know, I had to find other ways. And again, turned into a blessing because that's what drove me to work as a salesperson in the dealership, was because I needed income, right? And so I would never do it again. 8 to 10 hours a day, 6 days a week is just not me. I respect it. It's a lot of fun, right? You do have fun in there, but it was a challenge for me to have to go to work to a 9-to-5 job, right? That was something I had to kind of overcome mentally. And then it was also a challenge of how do I get out of this? Because now I've been there for 3 years and I'm dedicated and I love the guys. And, you know, I'm more than just the marketer now. I'm a key salesperson in the dealership. I don't like to have any sob stories. I lost my dad when I was 10 riding a motorcycle, funny enough. Kind of ironic, isn't it? Everybody's got their own issues, and I don't like to perceive mine as any more drastic than anybody else's, right? You know, if we're talking about personal setbacks, that was really tough for me at 10 years old, but it's definitely helped me grow into somebody who, you know, I think it made me rely on myself a lot more than typical 10-year-olds do. You know, you have to grow up pretty quickly, and that's done nothing but help me in life as to where I am now. Like I said, everybody's got their own problems, and so it's not something I like to harp on or you know, try to get pity for.
No, but we all have our setbacks. It's inspiring to see the comeback. Tell me about balancing family and work. You mentioned it was hard to get out of the dealership once you started becoming a key player there. How do you do it today?
The dealership life is there is no balance, to be completely honest. And you're there for 8 to 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, and there are people around you that pay the price for that. Right. The money's good. No doubt you can make a lot of money doing it. I think it's great for young people. Right. I think the best salespeople you can hire are they're young, dumb and hungry. They want to make money. They don't have a family and they got nothing else to do. OK, great. Go to work for 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. Right. So that was, you know, actually one of the key contributors, along with us finally seeing some growth, to me leaving the dealership was understanding that I'm not going to last if I continue to do this for, you know, this many hours, this many days a week. And God bless the people who do, because they are a different breed, if you will. I'm not an operator. My business partner is. He has 3 dealerships, but I work with a lot of operators. And so one of the things that I've learned from, or that I've got to see Brandon do is to try to replicate himself inside of these new dealerships, because, you know, when he takes one over, he goes in and he operates it as the GM, and that takes time. You're in there as an employee at that point, right? Learning to duplicate yourself or replicate yourself, I think, is super important. That's how you get even close to having a balance, because if you're not able to do that, you're locked in. And so, you know, the balance now, it's almost switched. I work remotely down here in Florida, and I'm so far from everything. Most of our businesses up in the Carolinas, have some stuff on the West Coast, out in Wyoming, Texas, and so I'm so far from all of the dealerships. And one of the things that I struggle with now is I've been sitting behind my desk away from everybody for 3 years. So the balance is tipped completely, and I'm actually moving back to North Carolina so I can spend more time in the dealership. So long story short, I don't think there is a balance. I don't think there is an ideal scenario. I think it's all based on, you know, what the feel, and more than the feel, what's necessary, right? Because you do too much, and then you could be in the position that I am now where you're like, man, I wish I had somewhere to go. I wish I could walk into the shop, right? And so that's exciting for me. We're going back actually next week up to the Carolinas to look at some stuff up there. And it's been 6 months up there and 6 months down here, and that's probably as close as balanced as I'll get.
So knowing everything you know now, you've learned a lot, you've overcome a lot of setbacks. What would you tell your younger self? Is there a piece of advice that you'd want to give him?
I don't think I'm anywhere close to where I want to be, but I think the definition of where I want to be has changed a lot. When you're 19 going into entrepreneurship, all you're thinking about is dollar signs, right? And I was in the social media world, so the influencer world, so Lamborghinis. I moved to Miami at 19. I don't know that I would tell myself not to do any of those things, but to understand that the goal will change. And now for me, it's not so much about how many dollars are there. It's about, are you happy? Do you feel good about what you're doing? You know, are you proud of it? I think if you're chasing a number, there will always be another number, right? There's always going to be, you know, quote unquote, more for you to get. And I think that's a very quick way to go to live an unsatisfied life, right? Now, there is a balance in that, too, because you do want, you know, to drive and have goals. I would just, you know, if there was anything I would tell my younger self is that, you know, it all works out, but your goals are going to change, right? Things are going to change. It's not always going to be about that dollar amount for you. My goals now are to, I know that this is going to sound really selfish, to think about myself a little more and the things that I do want, because I have prioritized the business and, you know, everything else for a long time now. I'm claiming the reason moving back to North Carolina is for the business, but that's also where my family is and my friends. And, you know, it really is a personal decision as well. And so for me, the goals are to spend more time with my family, because I've been away from North Carolina since I was 19 years old. So I've got a mom, I've got a sister, I've got a brother, I've got a little niece now. She's about to turn 2. So I want to be there for all of that. And that's personally and then professionally is to, on a large scale, to help dealers sustain the growth that they encapsulated in COVID. That's hard to do, especially in today's market. But one thing that I've seen is that the people who were doing this early have seen that growth sustained. Maybe not at the record that it was back then, but you know, every month I talk to the guys and girls that we work with, and every month it seems like there's, hey, we're looking at 2022 records, right? And so that's our goal professionally. Is obviously I'd love to get more dealers under our belt. We're at 25 accounts right now, but we're a small team. We're myself, Brandon, Blake, and then we have John, who works with us and does some admin stuff. And we've done that on purpose because then you lose kind of the personal touch, right? My goal professionally would just be to continue to impact dealers on an individual basis. And then I think that impact on an individual basis will help grow our industry, which I think is something that we can all agree is a good thing.
And that coincides with some of the Dealer Hero and Hero Hub goals. Tell us about what you have coming up with our company.
You guys are tying mine and Brandon's together, the digital marketing and the sales strategy. And I think there is no better things to tie together because one does not work without the other. All right. And we preach this in almost every dealer. And we've actually turned work down because we didn't feel like one side of the equation was there. Right. We're going to be talking about digital marketing strategies is what I will be covering. And then Brandon's going to do the management and sales strategies. And those two are directly correlated. You can have the best marketing in the world, but if your sales staff is not trained and equipped to actually convert, you're throwing money in the trash. If you have the best sales staff in the world, but you have no traffic, no leads, you're not going to have the best sales staff in the world because they're getting ready to leave for another job, right? So I think you guys have done a great job in pairing the two together. We're doing three classes. The first is going to be the basics. Then we're going to do the brand, and then we're going to do the plan, right? So the basics, the brand, the plan. The first will be understanding what digital marketing is and why it's the most effective thing that we can do for our industry. One of the more interesting things I'm excited to do in that first class is have an online presence audit planned. And so we're going to go dealer by dealer, and we're going to look at every aspect of your online presence, your website, your photos, your social pages, all of that. And I'm going to give you a brutally honest opinion on where you stand. The second session will be about the brand, which I think is the most underrated aspect of this whole thing. People want to talk about paid ad spend and budget and all that fun stuff, but the brand is what has allowed our dealers to be so successful because everybody has the same inventory at this point, right? And so what are you doing that is making you stand out from the dealer that's 10, 15 minutes down the road from you? And then the third, I'm actually going to help you build out hopefully a year-long plan. I probably just gave too much away, but it's going to be exciting. I think that, you know, dealers are going to walk away with something that they probably don't have in place right now that's going to be super beneficial. This is going to tie directly into the boot camp and why people should come to this one in particular. My hot take is that 95% of operators out there have zero idea of what's going on in their digital marketing strategy. Almost every dealer that we've taken on has come from another agency that is not power sport specific that doesn't know this industry. So the operator's just trusting blindly that the agency is doing what they need to do. They have no grasp of what's going on. If you get nothing else from the boot camp, you will know what is happening with your digital marketing strategy. So my hot take is that 95% of them have no clue what's happening, and the way to fix it is to obviously come out and join us on the boot camp. And if there's anything that anybody needs to know, I'm sure you guys will have our contact information up there. We are open ears. We don't gatekeep anything. So please do feel free to reach out to us.
Well, thank you so much to our guests for joining us today, and a huge thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I hope you found today's conversation insightful and inspiring. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with others in the power sports industry. We're excited to see you at the next one.